No more sign of fighting in Stalingrad. After Voronov and Rokossovsky's first interview with Paulus, Captain Dyatlenko returned to interrogating the other captured generals. Contrary to his expectations, they reacted in very different ways. General Schlömer, who had taken over command of 14th Panzer Corps from Huber, arrived limping on a stick and wearing a Red Army padded jacket. He won over his interrogator with an easy charm and remarks about the corporal uneducated in military problems and the untalented careerists in his entourage. General Walter von Seydlitz, on the other hand, whom the NKVD later discovered to be the most energetic defender of disobedience to the Führer during the encirclement, conducted himself in a very reserved way. For Stalin, 91,000 prisoners, including 22 German generals, were better trophies than flags or guns. Paulus, still in a state of shock, at first refused to appear in front of the journalists brought down from Moscow. "We have our own rules," retorted Colonel Yakimovich of Don Front headquarters, with Lieutenant Besiminsky interpreting. "You are to do what you are told." One compromise was, however, permitted. Paulus would not have to answer questions from the journalists. He only had to show himself to prove that he had not committed suicide. The foreign correspondents were rather surprised by the appearance of the German generals. "They looked healthy and not in the least undernourished," wrote Alexander Wirth. Clearly, throughout the agony of Stalingrad, when their soldiers were dying of hunger, they were continuing to have more or less regular meals. The only man who looked in poor shape was Paulus himself. He looked pale and sick, and had a nervous twitch in his left cheek. Attempts to put questions were not very successful. "It was rather like being at the zoo," wrote Wirth, "where some animals showed interest in the public, and others sulked." General Dubois was clearly keen to please, and immediately told the foreign journalists, as if to ask us not to be frightened, that he was Austrian. General Schlömer was the most relaxed. He turned to one of his captors, and patting the officer's shoulder boards, which had just been reintroduced by Stalin, exclaimed with a comic look of surprise, "What? New?" General von Arnim, on the other hand, was chiefly preoccupied with the fate of his luggage and what he thought of Red Army soldiers as a result. "The officers behaved very correctly," he announced, "but the soldiers he described as impudent thieves." The strain of capture also made for undignified behaviour in the two peasant houses at Zabarykino. Adam deliberately provoked Senior Lieutenant Bogomolov one morning with a Nazi salute and a Heil Hitler. Schmidt, however, was the officer most disliked by the Russians. Bogomolov forced him to apologise to a mess waitress whom he had reduced to tears as she served their lunch. A few days later, trouble broke out across the way in the ISPA which housed the other generals. Lieutenant Spector of Guard Group No. 2 telephoned Bogomolov, begging him to come quickly. A fight had broken out. "When I opened the door of the house," wrote Bogomolov, "I saw that a German general was grasping the wrist of a Romanian general. When the German saw me, he let go, and then the Romanian hit him in the mouth. It turned out that the quarrel was about the Romanian's knife, fork and spoon, which he claimed that the German had tried to take." Bogomolov, in contemptuous disbelief, sarcastically warned Lieutenant Spector that if he allowed such behaviour to continue, he too would have his spoon confiscated. Latent rivalries and dislikes between generals had come out into the open. Heitz and Seydlitz loathed each other even more after Seydlitz had allowed his divisional commanders to make their own decisions about surrender. Heitz, who had ordered his soldiers to fight to the last cartridge but one, had himself surrendered and then accepted dinner from General Shumilov at 64th Army headquarters. He also spent the night there. When he finally joined the other captured generals at Zabarykino, there was an uproar because he arrived with several suitcases packed ready for imprisonment. When tackled about his order to fight to the end, he replied that he would have committed suicide, but his chief of staff had prevented him.